I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's also a happy hump day, Trump Day, 8:07. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of the top stories is leaked information about what kind of damage may or may not have been done at those nuclear sites. And the leak, I think, is maybe as damaging as anything else could be. This kid, I think it borders on treasonous. But, you know, we'll dig into that. In fact, we'll ask Congresswoman Kat Kamick about it coming up in, well, you know what? Maybe she's here right now. Congresswoman, come in. Are you there?
I am with you. Are you with us, Bob? You're back.
Yes, good, and it is good to be back.
Holy smokes, you kind of scared me.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to do that to you or anyone else. Yeah, it wasn't a planned thing, but I'm just happy, and I'm going to do what the good doctors say, and hopefully I'll be around for a while.
Oh, man, I hope so. We got to keep on triggering the left, you know. That's just that's what we're here for, you know.
And fighting the good fight. I totally agree. Hey, off the beaten subject path a little bit, what am I hearing about? Some sort of death threats?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think I might have set a record this week for a number of death threats in a 72-hour period. You know, I shared a very personal story about a very dangerous ectopic pregnancy that I experienced last year. And there was a lot of complications around it. And really, in hopes that it would start a conversation about women's health care and getting resources to women. And because people don't realize that under the Biden administration, there were 2.5 million women who lost access to maternal health care, and they closed 35% of all women's healthcare clinics around the country. And so we're trying to start this conversation. And of course, in true political fashion, it gets politicized very, very quickly. Many people suffer from a lack of a civics education, which is one of the big problems, I think, on a lot of issues. And it turned into a national firestorm. And so a lot of people have been calling and writing in and coming to our office, and the death threats have been pretty intense. I even got one that said someone wanted to cut me open and roast my unborn child over a fire like a rotisserie chicken. So it's definitely a scary time, not just for me and my family, but I think around the country, because everything is so political, and we have to remember at the end of the day, we're Americans first. And I just think that you have so many keyboard heroes that they've lost touch with reality, and it's a dangerous thing, but we're doing okay. We've got security, and baby Peanut is safe, and of course, you guys know Matt. He's not going to tolerate that, so we're working through it.
Yeah, just to have that kind of hanging over your head, even though the chance of anything real developing are limited, it's the chance of it, and no one wants that, and to be talked to or treated and things said that are so entirely ugly. It is, it's just a sad statement on so many different levels. Just hang in there, and the good Lord's watching over you, and we're all praying for you, so you've got plenty of support. The angels will protect you.
I appreciate you. You know I love you guys.
Absolutely. It works both ways. Hey, I do have to ask you, though, President Trump, and I don't know if he was pointing at you specifically, but he said, you people in Congress are not going to get a vacation if you don't pass the big, beautiful bill. Maybe because when he said beautiful, he looked at you. I don't know.
Oh, Lord. It is quite the process, this reconciliation bill. You know, when we passed it out of the House, we included things in there like border security, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, major regulatory reforms, serious savings from frivolous programs that were part of the Green New Deal, things like that. Well, the Senate has taken it upon themselves, particularly an unelected member of the Senate parliamentarian, and really worked to strip out much of the things that we in the House had supported. And so it is two very different versions, and I don't know how we're going to be able to reconcile it, not even just from a dollars and cents standpoint, but from a policy standpoint. I can tell you, having worked on this for the last 8 months, that every word is deliberately designed in such a way that it would comply with the rules, that it would be procedurally accurate. And we've had such a really vitriolic political season that mm-hmm. we're living in, that it's kind of fallen apart. And so reconciling those two versions is going to be very difficult. I've talked to some of my Senate colleagues. They're very divided right now in the Republican Senate. And it's because I think ultimately at the end of the day, everyone's trying to get the best package that they can. But we need to do this right. This is too important to mess up. And so it doesn't matter to me how long it takes. I'm to the point where I'm almost can't fly anymore. So I'm stuck here regardless. And I can't remember the last time I got a vacation. So while it would be nice to be home and taking meetings and doing work in the district, we've got to get this package right. We've got to do that. And I don't care how long it takes, we'll get it done.
You got to, speaking of civics lesson, explain to me what this role of the parliamentarian and how somebody like that can wield that kind of power. And is this common practice?
So the parliamentarian in the Senate has a vastly different role than the parliamentarian in the House. The process of reconciliation in the House is focusing primarily on fatalities. And key language that would trigger a quote-unquote fatality in the House, meaning the entire package would fail. In the Senate parliamentarian can go line by line and rule on not just fatalities, but things that would violate the bird bath or wouldn't be germane to the Senate process. And that's one of the really difficult things that people don't understand, and it's very much in the weeds. So, you know, that's why you elect people to do this. Their rules are exceptionally different than what we have in the House. They have to comply with the bird bath, which is six individual tests on every single provision. And so she has some very, very powerful authority to basically strip whole sections. The only way to really avoid that is to replace who would be the Senate president in the chair. And that would be the Vice President of the United States. Now, that hasn't been done in a long time where she can be overruled, but it has been done. So there is a bit of a precedent there, and who knows, it may come down to that.
Wow. Well, in the meantime, I guess you might be locked in anyway, like you say. What again are we looking at for a general due date?
We're looking at mid-August, but you know it's definitely my child when she's tracking ahead, for all the mamas listening and even the papas who have watched their wives go through this, she is kicking my tail. She is an active little peanut that is just moving and grooving, and I think she's ready to get out and start running immediately. So we could see her at the beginning of August. Mid-August is when she's officially due, but we're really excited, and we can't thank everybody enough from around the district and around the country who's been so amazingly supportive.
Well, keep up the great work. Keep fighting the good fight. Take care of little baby Peanut there. And we hope to speak to you soon with, you know, maybe we'll be talking about the passage of the bill or laying it on the president's desk, hopefully.
Yeah, right. We're going to get it done. I appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you, Kat. Take care. Be safe.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All righty. Congresswoman Kat Kamick on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up, the FBI has to investigate a California politician because they're trying to tell gangsters, basically, hey, where are you at? You need to be fighting ICE out here.
Oh,
yeah.
Unreal.
It's crazy. Mm. Oh, and then there is a crazy Crockett story coming up, too, on 97.3 The Sky.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 8:35, Valor. Good morning and welcome. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:21, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. So can you imagine? You're working for ICE. You got a job to do. And on the other side, you've got politicians that are actually calling out gangs like, hey, where y'all at? You got to protect your turf.
Unreal.
A government official.
Unreal.
The FBI is reportedly investigating a California lawmaker's call to gang members to defend their hoods from ICE agents.
Wow.
In a post on X, Fox News' Bill Malusian posted a video that appeared to show Cudahy Vice Mayor Cynthia Gonzalez questioning where 18th and Florencia, 13 gang members, where are you?
Crazy.
In other words, she
that
knows she knows the names of the gangs.
Yeah.
She knows what street corners they kind of hang out or control or whatever. And she says ICE agents are running all much up into a gang's territory, not for nothing, but I want to know where all the cholos are at in Los Angeles.
Unreal.
Yeah, and she names the streets, the corners, and all that. There ain't a peep out of you while your neighborhoods are being invaded. She goes on to say it's everyone else who's not about the gang life that's out there protesting and speaking up. We're out there like fighting fighting for our turf, protecting our turf, protecting our people. And like, where are you at?
She's a politician or a gang leader? I mean, apparently not much difference in California here.
Yep. She says, I don't want to hear a peep out of you once they're gone, trying to claim that this is my block. This is not your block. You weren't even here helping out.
Wow.
So I guess she believes in the concept of gang members controlling swaths and blocks of areas in the city to which she's a vice mayor.
Sounds like.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from you if you're not out here trying to block ICE.
Malusian said, I'm told Cynthia Gonzalez posted the video late last week, then deleted it, and that the FBI later visited her at home, and she is under active federal investigation. Gonzalez posted on her social media that the FBI came to her house, and she needs a lawyer.
I'll bet.
She needs a brain transplant.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me? Like, there are, like, lefties that think that way. Well, you know, there is some semblance of law and order. The gangs kind of, they control things, and nobody gets murdered unless the gang, you know, says that they can, you know? And, hey, drugs don't get sold on that corner. Well, unless, you know, it's the gang's drugs.
Right.
I mean,
wow,
isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to post all that stuff. Like doesn't think a thing of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, like there's no problem here. I'm a vice mayor, and I can promote gang activity?
That's what it sounds
like.
And block
federal agents?
And mad because the gangsters aren't out there actively trying to stop ICE.
What is wrong with these people?
Where do you begin?
Well, good point.
DHS Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin previously told Breitbart that new data released by DHS showed that law enforcement is now facing a 500% increase in assaults while carrying out enforcement operations, and cited the recent arrest of Robert Carlos Munoz, an illegal alien and convicted child sex offender who dragged an ICE agent 50 yards with his car. McLaughlin pointed out to that recent thing that occurred. And, because he was attempting to evade arrest in Bloomington, Minnesota. And just this week, an ICE officer was dragged 50 yards by a car arresting an illegal alien sex offender. Every day, the men and women of ICE put their lives on the line to protect and defend the lives of American citizens. In a post on X, the White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller pointed out that, quote, ICE officers are being subjected to extreme violence and deadly assaults on a daily basis as Democrats wage their sinister campaign of destruction and hate. Then Miller shared a post from DHS in which the agency showed a video of a man with a weed whacker. DHS claimed that the man had assaulted federal law enforcement with a weed whacker. Yeah.
Crazy out there.
Well, you can do all kinds of damage with that. You take somebody's eye out, permanently blind them. I mean, it really, in some areas, things really are out of control. And then there's our old buddy. Not with it. Nope. She doesn't wear a coonskin hat. Probably not even family.
Yeah.
But
who is she? Oh,
crazy Crockett.
Oh, she crazy.
Another crazy Crockett story for you. Actually, maybe this one makes sense. She dropped her bid to become the Democrats' next ranking member of the House Oversight Committee. Doesn't she open her pie hole like she has oversight over everything anyway?
She thinks she does, yeah.
Well, she finished dead last in a Monday night steering vote.
Dead last, really? Yeah.
In other words, the vote read like this. They unfurled it. You go, anybody but Crazy Crockett. Okay. All right. That narrows it down.
Oh, wow. She's something else.
Well, if her whole little jive, her whole shtick.
Her Ebonic thing.
Yeah, it's all fake.
I mean, she's like this very well-educated her entire life, wealthy family, and she likes to act like she's from the hood.
I got to tell you, I think it's funny.
Oh, it is, because it's so over the top. And what was her comment about the president should have hollered at Congress before he, like, bombed Iran?
Yeah, yo!
Holla? What?
Hollered? Yo, Prez, you got to holler. We had a dollar holler over here.
And you're in Congress. Wow.
Ooh.
Amazing.
Absolutely infuriating. Biden administration apparently rushed out $90 billion in green loans when he was a lame whack whack. Coming up next, Valor. Coming up after that, we are going to talk to Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America. Stick around. 97.3 The Sky.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And, is it a big old beautiful budget that has been done in Tallahassee? Depends on who you talk to. Let's talk to Gun Owners of America's Luis Valdez. Good morning, Luis.
Good morning, and glad you're back on the air and feeling better.
Well, thank you, sir. Yes, it's good to be back. And I have just a sneaking suspicion, and I got a text from you not too long ago, that you're a little unhappy with the Florida budget. Do tell.
You know, the Florida budget was basically a big political show for nothing. It's, as the governor put it, not a lot of things were really done. This budget is very ho-hum. The governor is going to go through it. He's going to line item veto a number of issues from it. And they actually did put in one thing that we are grateful for. There is a firearm sales tax holiday, actually, buried deep within it. It starts September 8th and goes through December 31st. It's literally on page 198 out of a 200-page bill. So, but it's going to cover firearms. It's going to cover accessories like cleaning kits, holsters, things of that sort, optics, stocks, and ammunition. So that's a good thing. But going back to it, we wasted a number of weeks to basically pass a bill that does nothing. And on top of that, it really shows you what happens when you have a Republican supermajority that doesn't listen to its constituency. The constituency overall, they wanted fiscal conservatism. They wanted property tax reform. They wanted things like open carry, real constitutional carry for repeal of gun control. And our Republican supermajority didn't do that. They did the bare minimum. And the bare minimum is a horrible thing for a supermajority to do.
Yeah, look, when the people have voted in like a supermajority, like you said, the will of the people in this case should be, you know, of a very conservative nature. And we know the governor is very popular, and you go around and tout the idea of a free Florida, and this governor really wants to follow through with that. He wants to make sure that that our freedoms are protected, like our Second Amendment rights, and expanded on, really, in Florida, because, what, we're one of five states that doesn't have an open carry type scenario. And then also taxation, when that becomes burdensome, we don't consider that part of free or freedom. So he wants to rectify those things, but he's not getting any help at all, is he?
No, he's not. And that's the sad thing, is that Florida's voters, they put their lawmakers in office with a mandate. And that mandate, a lot of it was with what the governor has pledged, with what the governor has campaigned on. If you want to look at a statewide barometer for measurement, it's the governor's election from 2022. He won statewide in numbers that Republicans have never seen in Florida. And a lot of Republican lawmakers in the legislature right now, they owe their office to riding that wave that he created, but they're not fulfilling those mandated promises that the governor, as the political figurehead of the Republican Party in Florida, has established as a cornerstone of conservatism here in Florida. Our legislature's not following through. I mean, the fact that they wasted a month and a half of going back and forth on a ho-hum budget bill that really does nothing says it all.
Yeah, and I guess what's happening there is, as voters, we need to be more accountable. We need to hold these candidates accountable. We can't assume because somebody running as an R is conservative. They're running as an R because that gives you the best chance to win in Florida, frankly. And I think that's exactly what we've got. We've got some weak-kneed rhinos that were able to slide in under the R designation, pretending to be, I guess, conservative, or maybe the voters not looking into it deeply enough. And all of a sudden now we've got these squishy Republicans. And in Florida, yeah, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You have you literally have Democrats changing their jerseys mm-hmm. to Team R. We saw that with Representative Hillary Castell. She left the Democratic Party, joined the Republicans this session, and she voted not once but twice against pro-gun legislation. And no censure, no slap on the wrist, no punishment from the Republican Party establishment in Tallahassee. It's just ho-hum. She went right along, and they welcomed her in with open arms. And the other side of it is, as you said, you have voters that are not actually doing the research. They just see an R by the name on the ballot, and they just vote down ballot. That's it. The real race in Florida is the primaries, and that's where people need to be active to vet and make sure that we get good candidates on the ticket and in office.
Yeah, you really do. You really have to do the research, and sometimes that's not really easy. People put out kind of this public scenario of who they are, and if they haven't previously held office, it's not like you can hold them accountable by your voting record, so it becomes even more, you know, if you ask them, hey, man, are you pro-Second Amendment? Oh, heck yeah, man. Yeah, I'm with the best of them, man. But you don't really know that. That's part of the problem, isn't it?
that's part of the problem. And the other part of the problem is that you have lawmakers flat out as incumbents that campaign. They're pro-gun. And you look at their actions in the legislature and it says otherwise. I mean, a great example of that is Wilton Simpson.
You had to start a fight with Wilton like 15 minutes before we're going to have him on, huh? We appreciate it. We do. We love you both, actually. But, yeah, you've got your point for sure. Luis Valdez, you take care, my friend. Keep fighting a good fight.
Good to have you back on the air and glad you're healthy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Gun Owners of America's Luis Valdez on the Bob Rose Show. And as he, whether he meant to or not, coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson right here on News Talk 97.3. The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Another day in paradise, my friends. Happy hump day, Trump day. It's 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is right over there.
Over here. Yes.
You doing all right?
Yeah, a little tired this morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you back to the grind, yes. Man. Back to the working world.
I was like, I'd wake up at 6. I was up in the mountains of North Carolina. Wake up at 6 when the sun came up and get my coffee and sit on the back balcony there up in the woods and listen to the birds sing and think to myself, yeah, Bob's back at work today.
And life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God he was a country boy for
nice.
A little while.
Yeah, then this morning, 3 o'clock just came really early.
Hell.
Yeah.
I know. I understand.
Yeah,
reality. Look, Monday was rough on me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You had your week off after a little heart attack there and time off and then back and by yourself, essentially.
So, yeah. But here I is, yes. And happy to be here.
Good.
I read some great quotes through history.
Really?
They're significant.
Okay, what you got?
And I think most people can identify these. 47 years ago today.
Oh, that's a classic, yeah.
The part of the what? Gettysburg Address, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't around, but yes, I've read it, yes.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Wow.
I got to tell you, I think I sounded kind of like FDR there, huh?
You did, that was good. Huh? Yeah. Iconic.
That's because a band in Living Color used it as part of one of their songs.
And that's the reason.
Yeah. And some Kennedy stuff, too. It's pretty
funny.
Cool. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah? What else you got?
Tear down that wall.
Oh, Ronald Reagan. What an awesome one there.
And the new one now that we will embrace forever forward.
Yes.
They don't know what the bike they're doing.
Donald Trump.
Thank you, Donald Trump. Tell us how you really feel, Don. Come on.
Hey, he's always been such an introvert. Wallflower kind of guy. Yeah.
Oh, that dirty, dirty Biden boy. Wait, not the Biden boy. Well, that dirty, dirty Biden old man.
Well, just say family.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually the administration. Could have been done by AutoPen.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You remember he was an actor, Sean AutoPen?
Yes. Wow.
Sorry.
He's feeling better. You've been warned.
Yes.
Great.
U.S. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright slamming the Biden administration for what he calls an absolutely infuriating last-minute spending spree. Yes, they're headed out the door. The election's over. You're lame, quack, quack, duck president, to say the very least, right? So again, I don't know, was it the auto pen? Was it Biden? But the bottom line is they rushed $90 billion in green energy loans.
Wow.
Pushed through the Department of Energy's loans office, and they did it a very short period between the actual election and when Trump took office.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Not surprised, but amazing.
Yeah. And, wow. Yeah, 76-day period within that, they were able to get all these loans done. I mean, they really had to, like, call all their friends and say, hey, we got money. Can you put something together and pretend like you have something real going on? Because we've got this green money just for you. This amount, by the way, exceeds the total loan volume issued by the Energy Office over its entire 15-year history. Yeah. Why do they do that? Reward their friends, bankrupt the country. It is that simple. To put that into context, over 15 years, it had to put out about $43 billion. Then we had an election on November 5th last year, and President Trump won the election. After that election day, and until President Trump's inauguration, $90 billion, over twice what had been done in the previous 15 years, was done in 76 days. Yep, more than half of that, $49 billion, in the very last 2 days, Thursday and Friday, before the inauguration that was coming on the next Monday.
That's just slimy.
Very, very slimy. Yep.
You know that the American people have spoken. They don't like your agenda. They're going a different direction. And you throw out tens of billions of dollars just to push your agenda a little more before you're heading out.
It's precisely what has occurred. But again, this was at the end of his term. Was it Biden?
Well, who knows?
Was it the auto pen? You know it was the auto pen. I guarantee you that right now.
Well, because he wasn't in charge of anything. Who knows how long?
Yeah.
No way.
And so they need to do some research and track all this stuff down. Mm-hmm. And anything that doesn't appear to be rock solid in reality,
need
to yank it.
Yep.
The FBI has initiated criminal investigations of three children's hospitals after commitments from Attorney General Pam Bondi that the Trump administration would enforce federal statutes outlawing female genital mutilation to protect children from often irreversible sex change surgeries. The investigations target providers who work at Boston Children's Hospital, Children's Hospital Colorado, and Children's Hospital LA. According to a source familiar with the investigation who spoke to Fox News anonymously, you know, under the condition of anonymity, but these hospitals have been among the foremost providers of sex change procedures for minors in America over the last several years. I still know people that don't believe that's true, that that's happening.
Isn't that crazy that they wouldn't believe it?
Yeah.
That just blows your mind.
Kids aren't being mutilated now. Well, what are you talking about? Yes, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
Now, just after taking office, President Trump issued an executive order directing all federal agencies to work toward terminating the ability for children under 18 to receive irreversible medical interventions as a treatment for gender dysphoria. Part of that effort included Attorney General Bondi issuing a memorandum several weeks later directing Justice Department personnel to enforce 18 U.S.C. 116. That's the federal statute that makes female genital mutilation against the law. Remember what the origin of that came out of apparently like the Muslim community believed in doing that, mutilating and taking. But basically making sure that women don't enjoy sexual relations, basically. Right. And so they could use that to help enforce, the executive directive as well. But, yeah, if you think that's not occurring and not happening, you're kidding yourself. They're still doing it. They're trying to fly under the radar, but it's still being done, and it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Children don't know what they really want. You're going to allow them, or you even as a parent, you're going to make these life-changing decisions? The insanity continues, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, see what's going on in his world that impacts our world. That's coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.